First hour today, let's talk politics with the host of the Shermichael Singleton Show on SiriusXM, Shermichael Singleton. Shermichael, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Tavis, I'm doing well. Happy Monday, and thanks for having me back.
No, it's good to have you on the program. Let me just jump right to the news of the day, politically at least. Opening statements today in the trial of Donald Trump. We were told a week or so ago that it might take a few weeks to seat this jury. They sped that process up. There were some issues with certain jurors. Two of them dismissed a few days ago. They've now spoken to the press and expressed their own views about why they wanted off this jury. We'll talk about that as we move through this hour. But nonetheless, the judge in this case, Judge Marchand, got those jurors seated. And today, opening arguments will be heard. Opening statements will be heard today in this case of Donald Trump. There are other cases, of course, but this one is the one that has our attention at the moment. And I don't want to color the first question too much. Just what do you make of the fact that this, I mean, it's surreal in many ways. We keep using that word, as I said last week, unprecedented. But how did you just read, just give me in a minute or two before we get started here more deeply, how do you read that we are at this moment?
I mean, look, it's a former president who is the soon-to-be nominee of one of the two major parties in court facing potential felony charges. We've never seen anything like this. And as a strategist, and I've been asked this question multiple times on CNN, what does this mean for Trump in terms of politics? And, you know, I've said in a very eerie kind of way, I guess he somehow is going to have to figure out a way to bring the campaign to the courtroom. But as a strategist, I wouldn't know necessarily how to do that because this is really unprecedented territory, Travis, not only historically, but even in terms of electoral politics.
Yeah, no, it is unprecedented in a lot of ways, and we'll unpack some of that as best we can as we move through this first hour. Please be joined by Shermichael Singleton on Tavis Smiley.
This is getting good.
Yeah, man.
Tavis Smiley. Tavis Smiley continues when we come forward. Stay fresh daily in the Mert Park,
Los Angeles, California.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
I think you all know this, but let me just tee this up for you one more again, as we say, with regard to what's happening in New York, even as we speak. So this is the case brought by Alvin Bragg, the brother, African-American DA in Manhattan. He's accusing Donald Trump in this case of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments during his 2016 campaign. Arriving at the courthouse today, Trump claimed the trial was, these are his words, and I quote, election interference. And part of an effort to keep him off the campaign trail, he called the case a witch hunt. He called the case a shame. New York law does not allow recording of criminal proceedings, and so this case will not be televised. I think we'd all benefit from seeing it on television, but New York law does not allow criminal proceedings to be televised. So all the networks have persons in the courtroom or in a overflow room nearby watching on closed circuit. So that they can write their stories and report to us what's happening in real time in this case. So that's the setup. So Shermichael, that said, let me just ask a few things relative to that.
Mm-hmm.
You teed this up a moment ago, and before I get to Donald Trump's comments on his way into the courthouse today, your comments moments ago on this program about how he's going to navigate being in court every day and being on the campaign trail. I can't find a better word than historic, unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this, where a former president who is running for re-election, running to be re-elected again, third consecutive time, which is historic in its own right, that he's been the nominee of his party. But how does he navigate being in trial, being on the campaign trail, and how does he use one to aid and abet the other?
I mean, look, for the next 60 days, Tavis, he is not going to be able to travel the country. And you've heard Trump lately complain about, you know, I can't be in Georgia or Pennsylvania, wherever else he would prefer to be. So with that reality in mind, if I were a strategist tasked with being a part of the team to figure this out, I would probably advise the former president to speak less about the trials per se being a witch hunt or persecution. And I would probably focus more on the fact that inflation is still a problem. Most people can't afford gas, which is actually going to go up with the summer months quickly approaching. The cost of food is still high. Rent in every major city is still substantially high. Buying baby formula is still high. If you're a family and you have to take care of a loved one, being able to afford for some type of home care aid is up nearly 20%. I would talk about the fact that immigration is still a problem. And while we, you know, want immigrants to come to the country, we try to be an open place. The reality is that there are a lot of Americans, Tavis, of every ethnicity, who are struggling in every way. They're struggling to take advantage of already limited resources, already limited housing availability. And to throw in millions of new people and say, well, now we got to figure this out while also trying to help you too, the math just doesn't always add up. And so I would speak to those very real issues that are impacting Americans. And I would say, from a Republican perspective, obviously, mm-hmm. Under Joe Biden, this is the reality. And it is not a great reality. And if Trump wants to add in some of the trial stuff, then I would say, look, Democrats are going through a route where most legal scholars say, if you're going to go after him, this should not have been the case. Silas Vance, the last DA from the Southern District of New York, passed on it. He said Michael Cohen was not a credible witness. And if you want to throw in more politics, I would say, look, you know, respect to Alvin Bragg, but when he was running for DA, he made several presumptive statements about my guilt or innocence without having seen any evidence at the time. Trump wants to talk a lot about the jury being slated against him. I would say, look, Manhattan is a place that voted almost 80% for my opponent. There are very few Republicans here. That is not to say that the jury system in totality is tainted, but it certainly is to say that maybe moving the trial somewhere else that's a little more balanced would lead to a more fair outcome. And so there are a couple points that could be made strategically as it pertains to the case. But again, those points, in my opinion, as a strategist, should be less compared to really making the overall points about the everyday issues that people are obviously still struggling with.
I must tell you, that's brilliant advice. I was thinking, it's too bad that Donald Trump ain't listening right now. We know where he is right now. He's not listening to this program to hear the advice that you are offering him. But strategically, I'm no Trump fan. Most of my audience are not Trump fans, I suspect. But it's strategically brilliant advice. And what you essentially just said, as I heard it, and again, I couldn't agree more, is that if you're going to step to the microphone on your way into court or when you leave court every day, if you're going to step to the microphone, you ought to be focusing your comments on their issues, not your issues. That is to say, their being the issues of the voters that you just laid out brilliantly. Focus on their issues and not so much on yours. I get that strategically. And yet, there are at least two things that come to mind. Number one, I don't know, actually three things. One, I don't know that he has the discipline to do that, number one. It's brilliant strategically. I don't know if he has the discipline to do it. Secondly, I'm concerned, we'll break these down and talk about them. Secondly, I'm concerned about how much leeway this judge is going to give him before he violates or finds him in violation of that gag order. As you know, last week, Alvin Bragg asked the judge immediately to find Trump already in violation of the gag order. So the point is that the more you try to campaign, whatever comes out of your mouth, the more you step to that bank of microphones going in or leaving that court, the greater risk he runs of violating at some point this particular gag order. Now, it also puts the judge in a difficult situation, it seems to me, because the guy is running for president. And you don't want to be accused of violating his right to free speech, his right to express himself outside of that courtroom. So this is some really, really, really tricky terrain that this judge and all the rest of us, frankly, have to navigate with regard to when the judge thinks in this case he's gone too far, crossing the line of the gag order. The other thought that comes to me, and I'll shut up and let you respond to all these things any way you want, but as you were running that list again of advice that you'd offer the president, the former president, that is Donald Trump, the third and final thing that sort of came to me was that while he could step to those bank of microphones, that bank of microphones coming in and going out, and address the concerns of the American people, that really isn't quite at the epicenter of his narrative. His narrative is, as he already said, that I'm being not prosecuted but persecuted. It is election interference. We'll get to that part in just a second, because that's a strong indictment that this is election interference. And the question is whether or not his voters and supporters will see it that particular way. But there's a lot there. You can take any part you want, and we'll jump from there, Shermichael.
Yeah, look, so the first part about the discipline, that is a problem. I mean, I was watching a news program earlier today, and a reporter from that program, one of their correspondents, was saying that she was talking with some of his senior advisors off the record. And they were sort of saying, look, this is not helpful. We would prefer to be talking about campaign issues, policy issues. We would like to be showcasing the difference between us and the Biden administration. So that is a real problem for the former president. But I think at some point, Tavish, you have to have an honest conversation with the principal, mm-hmm. that being the candidate, mm-hmm. and say, look, I get you have your way of wanting to do this, but the reality is this is going to be a tight race, and you are going to have to incorporate certain practices that may seem foreign to you. And that means being disciplined. That means sticking to the message as much as you may hate it. This could make the difference between you winning or losing. And if you really want to win, then you're going to have to listen to us. On the part about the gag order, I think you're right. And the judge is supposed to address that actually tomorrow.
Exactly.
Last week's points by AD Bragg, or DA Bragg, rather, excuse me. Mm-hmm. It is a fine line, Tavis, because this man is running for president.
Yep.
And you do need to provide some path for him to not only be able to talk about the kitchen table issues that I just outlined, but to also be able to draw some distinctions to this case for what he would believe is a persecution, and to at least raise in the minds of some swing voters, you know, I don't really like Trump. Yeah, you know, he probably should have been better with his business records. But is it ideal to do this right now? A lot of these people did make political statements about him. A lot of them did, you know, use this as messaging points when running for office. Did that make sense? Was that wise? Probably not. He should be able to make that distinction, Tavis, without making personal attacks against the judge, without making personal attacks against Mr. Bragg and his family and other individuals involved with this case. And you can do that. You can connect those dots without making it personal.
Yeah.
And that's again, that's another issue that Trump doesn't always do very effectively.
No, and my view is, let's just take the comments he made on the way into court today. My view is that as a candidate and as a citizen, he does, in fact, have the right to call this case a witch hunt. I do not believe that it is. But as a matter of free speech and his personal point of view, I would not support a judge gagging him for calling this a witch hunt. Frankly, I wouldn't gag him for calling this election interference. Now, I don't agree with any of those statements, but I think those things are inside the realm of things that he can get away with saying. He clearly cannot talk about the jurors. He clearly cannot talk about the judge. He clearly cannot talk about the court employees. He can't talk about Alvin Bragg and his family. I get that part. And so there is a line here. But in many ways, I'm not so sure how thick or how thin that line really is. But the comments he's made today, for example, I don't think those kinds of comments should subject him to a gag order. And I have no support. There's no support here, and very little respect at all for Donald Trump. But I'm open-minded enough, and I want to believe that I'm fair enough. I believe in fundamental fairness. I believe in due process. I believe in the presumption of innocence. I believe in all those things, even for Donald Trump. Again, it's going to be a real tricky terrain that this judge has to navigate. But I don't think comments like those today, Shermichael, as a presidential candidate, should subject him to a gag order. That's my take. What's yours?
I mean, Tavis, I agree with you. It's not only that you're fair, it's because you're also objective. And that's a part of the argument that Donald Trump should make. I mean, every news channel, maybe with the exception of Fox, they're covering this 24/7 because it's going to be a ratings blockbuster. You're seeing the clips all over the place, all over YouTube. this is an incredible opportunity for Trump to make a distinction between himself and President Biden on a litany of policy issues, but it's also an opportunity for him to talk about the case, not the individuals involved in the case, not personal attacks, not the jury, everything you said, but the case itself, to be able to say, look, this is a witch hunt. Again, to be able to say, look, this is a quote-unquote persecution. I mean, there's a reason that all of the DAs, these are all Democratic strongholds. This doesn't happen in any Republican cities, Republican governors. There's a reason. When you look at where these trials are being brought, it's places that are overwhelmingly Democratic and not Republican. Trump should be able to make that case. And again, in the minds of many people, they may say, look, I can't stand this son of a gun. But the man got a point. Maybe the case should be moved somewhere that's closer to 50-50 versus 80-20. And I think that's a legitimate argument to make.
But this all comes back to the issue we raised earlier, and that is whether or not he's disciplined enough to do what you have just suggested. And I don't know that he is, which raises the fundamental question. I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago about this, and it's one of those things that you'll never get an answer to because Donald Trump is not Socratic enough to be introspective. Socrates once said that the unexamined life is not worth living. I don't think Donald Trump has spent a day in his life being introspective. It's just not his way. So this requires some introspection. It requires looking inward. And again, I don't think he's capable of doing that. Having said that, I wonder in the quiet, still moments, in the middle of the night, when he can't sleep, I wonder whether or not he now has any regrets about how undisciplined he has been. It's the lack of discipline that, frankly, leads to all his bad behavior, his bad mistakes, his breaking the law. He is just so undisciplined in every aspect of his life, save his business acumen. And again, his business acumen ain't all that people or he has chalked it up to be. But you can't hate on him for being a successful businessman. But I wonder whether or not he has come to terms or will ever come to terms with how undisciplined he is. I mean, he's facing in all these cases some serious prison time, all because of his choices, his bad behavior. And I wonder if he ever will come to terms with that, Shermichael. I mean, I don't know. I'm not asking you to, you know, look inside your crystal ball, but it's a fascinating thought. Yeah. At least it is for me.
It is one for me as well, Tavis. You think people who are reflective in their own lives, reflective on the environment and the world around them, you would think, right, in those moments of quietude, you're assessing and analyzing, man, how did I get this wrong? How did I make these mistakes? Or holy smoke, you know, I really need to learn something out of this. You would think, I think as rational beings, most of us would have the presumption that an intelligent person at some point would get there. Now, we haven't seen any evidence of that, to your point, accurately, of course, with the former president. But to have a 77 years old man, and you're realizing the litany of charges that you're facing, how this is drying you up of your cash, what does that mean for your children and grandchildren when you're long gone, as you have fewer years ahead of you, more years behind you? You would imagine, Tavis, at some point, he would wake up or he's sitting up and thinking, you know, I got to get this right. If at any moment in time, this is that moment.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but we'll see.
Let's come to that point once more when we come forward. I've got a few thoughts about that. Shermichael is making me think, as he always does. Our guest is Shermichael Singleton. You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward. Let's get back to more of this rich dialogue with Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley and Shermichael Singleton, who is host of the Shermichael Singleton Show on Sirius XM. And we are talking politics in this hour, as we tend to do in our first hour every day. But today is uniquely different because today the first ever former president of these United States is being criminally prosecuted in Manhattan. Opening statements today in this case, we are just trying to figure it out and make sense of it or make the most of it, which is hard to do given how unprecedented it is. in the history of this country. A number of comments, I'm sure, Michael, coming in. I want to just read this one because it, mm-hmm. it dovetails nicely with what you and I were discussing earlier. Tavis asked for Trump. Criminal prosecution is very, very sobering. Criminal prosecution is very, very sobering. That said, I don't think it's real for him, at least not yet, because I don't think the penalties to date have had the effect of changing him as it might a reasonable person, in part given his wildly unreasonable support by MAGAs and the Republican Party, frankly. Some folk cross a line. Others cross a line and continue beyond the line so far because they really believe that they are beyond accountability until they are not. Powerful comments from one of our listeners. My sense is that they're probably right, that it just has not, it hasn't sunk in for him yet, and I don't know that it ever will, in part because of what the listener wrote, but also because he has spent a lifetime, to your point at 77, of getting away time and time and time again with everything under the sun, and now it has finally caught up to him. But I was going to say before the break that none of this, ostensibly, none of this, Shermichael, would have happened had he not run for president. And that, you know this because you're a student of history. Most presidents who've gotten into trouble do so in the second term. Every president wants a second term, but you run through the presidents who've gotten into really, really deep stuff, and it tends to happen in the second term. And I've often laughed about the fact, if you had stopped at one term, if you hadn't wanted that second term so bad, you might have left office unscathed. But so much of this stuff starts to unravel on you. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. They get in trouble in the second term. Donald Trump, as one of our guests made note of on this program last week, Melissa Murray, professor at NYU, out with a new book called The Trump Indictments. She made the point that Donald Trump was engaged in criminal behavior before he ran for office, while he was in office, and after he left office. That's what these four indictments cover. These four indictments against him cover bad behavior, criminal behavior, before he was in office, while he was in office, and stealing those papers and going to Mar-a-Lago after he was out of office. That's a lot of ground to cover, but it suggests to me that you have lived a life where you have perennially gotten away with everything that you have done that you had no business doing. But again, I don't know that he's ever going to come to terms with it. But I do wonder whether he ever considers that none of this would have happened had he not been so thirsty to be president of these United States.
You know, a lot of people close to him that I know well have said that to him. People from the business world. Mm-hmm. You think about the Central Park Five. People who knew about it sort of moved on, but the country writ large didn't know a whole lot about that. Didn't know the incident happened. If he never moved forward with the birtherism against former President Barack Obama, Trump, for the most part, was looked at fondly. I mean, a lot of celebrities happen to be Democrats, invited him to parties. I mean, Elton John performed at one of his weddings. Democrats would come to him for campaign donations, as would Republicans. And so the point that I'm trying to make here is that he was someone, for the most part, who was a well-liked individual. And then he ran for office. And boy, when you get into politics, and I've been in politics for a long time in my young life, the onion will be peeled back layer after layer after layer. And whatever business you have done or continue to do, everybody's going to find out about it. And I think that's the case with the former president. Now, I do want to say quickly to the comment that the listener made. I think that's so spot on. And it reminds me, growing up as a kid, my parents would always, give these descriptors about one of my cousins. Great family, both parents are attorneys, best schools, everything. We always got into a ton of trouble. Mm. My mom said he's never going to learn because they're always bailing him out. And she said, but he will learn when the bailouts no longer work. Mm. And Tavis, that's exactly what happened, man. He ended up going to jail for a couple of years. This is someone who got into freaking Harvard College. Didn't go because he's with some friends doing stupid stuff. And now we're older. I'm 33. He's a couple years older than me. And we talk about this stuff now, and he learned. And so to that point of the listener, it may take something of that magnitude for Trump to finally realize, holy smoke. But I don't know if that's going to even happen, though, Chavez.
Yeah. No, it is fascinating. I'm just struggling trying to find the right word here. It's fascinating when you consider, again, the historic, unprecedented nature of what is happening even as we speak, with a former president being criminally charged. But I've said this many times. I don't want to get involved in trying to, I'm not an armchair psychologist. I don't play one on radio or television. I can't do any sort of pop psychology. But in some ways, to me, there seems to be a chip missing. Donald Trump is just missing a chip. And as I said earlier, quoting Socrates, the unexamined life is not worth living. But you have to be willing to be introspective. And it's not just Donald Trump. I know other folk like that who just have no capacity, no interest whatsoever in being introspective about the lives they're living, about the legacies they're leaving, about the mistakes they continually make. Just no interest whatsoever in being introspective. And I think he has been obviously not well served by his inability to look inward. And again, if you don't run for president, none of this stuff happens. I mean, he'd been doing all kinds of stuff in New York, but all this stuff happens. And to that extent, that's why he argues. I mean, it's a hollow argument as far as I'm concerned. But he understands the point I just made, that this doesn't happen if he isn't running for president. And that's why he's calling this election interference. And I want to get your take on that thought, that line that he keeps uttering, that this is election interference. I don't buy it. Are you buying that argument?
I don't buy it, but I get in a political sense to the point that I was making in the last segment, Tavis, how all of these trials or indictments have come out of Democratic strongholds, if you will. I understand how his supporters will say, but look at the statements by A.D. Bragg when he was running, or look at the statements by New York State Attorney Letitia James, a look at the fact that the judge's daughter is working on raising money for the former president's apartment. I mean, you look at those things. I'm not saying that that stuff legitimizes or delegitimizes anything. I'm just saying I can see how someone listening to Trump can look at those examples and say,
I get that. But that's the worst kind of political spin. And when we come forward, I'll tell you why it's such horrible political spin and why I don't buy it. I hear the point, and some have made that case, some being Donald Trump and others, these Democratic strongholds. When we come forward, I'll tell you why that's a bunch of nonsense. You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Tavis Smiley.
Ranked number 45 on the Heavy 100 list of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America.
Sounds different, huh?
This is Tavis Smiley.
This is Tavis Smiley in conversation with Shermichael Singleton, host of his own program, fine program on Sirius XM. Glad to have him in today on this show, talking about politics. And there are a lot of things we could talk about today, but there's only one subject, really, in this first hour, and that is the criminal prosecution of Donald Trump, which is officially underway, opening statements today. In this case, never before a former president in this country on trial. And we shall see what happens over the next few weeks as this case is put on and this evidence starts to be revealed and unfold. I was saying a moment ago, Shermichael, right quick, though, and I want to read another comment from another listener that I want to get your take on. But I was saying a moment ago that I don't buy this argument that this is election interference because these are Democratic strongholds. Let's break down these four cases right quick. Three or four of them, at least. The case in Washington being brought by Jack Smith is being brought in Washington for all the obvious reasons. It's Washington. It's where DOJ is, where these crimes were committed. January 6th happened. So, yeah, it's a Democratic stronghold, but that's the scene of the crime. In New York State, in New York State, where he overinflated the value of his businesses and lied on his statements, et cetera, that happened where his businesses are headquartered, in New York State. This case with Stormy Daniels and these hush payments and he and Michael Cohen, this is a New York issue. Fani Willis in Atlanta, Georgia. And yes, New York is a Democratic stronghold, but that's the scene of the crime in Georgia. Fani Willis's case, he's the one that called and said, find me the votes. That happened in the state of Georgia. And Atlanta might be a Democratic stronghold, but Georgia is a red state. So I could stop or I could go on. I choose to stop. But that alone should make it clear that that argument's got all kind of holes in it, Shermichael Singh. And I know you were advancing it not necessarily as a personal belief, but the way that you could see how somebody could believe that, but not if they heard what I just said.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, Tavis. I did a focus group 2 months ago with some Republicans for a client my company did, and it was on how Republican voters, particularly MAGA Republican voters, view this. And one thing that a theme that was consistent from all of the participants, you had about 25 of them, they all said, well, why can't the judges be like Judge Cannon? And I thought that was interesting, because what that revealed was that while they may not even like that case either with the documents, there is the perception that she's fair. And that's what I think his supporters would say. So when he says, well, like his lawyers were arguing a while ago, a couple of weeks back, that they want to make the argument for the case, to the trial to be moved to somewhere else in New York. Again, because, you know, it's unbalanced in terms of the voter makeup in Manhattan. And I do think that if you're articulating that point to Trump supporters, they will say, yeah, I don't like the trial. I don't think the trial should go on. But if it's going to happen, it should be somewhere where there are some people who may actually like Trump.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I think they are rationalizing this.
Yeah.
Not sure, Michael, but the way they're rationalizing.
No, to the point of your focus group, this comment now, and we'll give you a chance to respond to it when we come forward. Tavis, Trump supporters do not care. Coupled with the absolute lack of an acceptable alternative candidate being offered to them by the Democrats, none of this will matter. Trump supporters do not care. None of this will matter. Wonder Shermichael agrees with that, that Trump supporters just don't care, and that ultimately, no matter what the verdict is, none of this will matter. You're listening to Tavis Smiley.
Speaking the truth, speaking the truth. This is the Tavis Smiley Show. Ready to re-examine your assumptions and expand your inventory of ideas? More of Tavis Smiley coming your way right now.
There is some breaking news that does not concern the Trump trial underway now in Manhattan, and I don't have time to get into it with the 4 minutes I have left with Shermichael, but this is becoming more and more acute across the country. On Yale, on the campus of Yale, they've just arrested dozens of students engaged in Gaza protest. These protests are escalating on campuses all across the country, as you know, and they have just now arrested dozens, or are in fact arresting dozens of students. On the campus of Yale, Columbia, as you may know, has already moved to remote classes because of the arrest of students on the campus of Columbia. And now we hear word that Harvard is closing Harvard Yard. You heard Shermichael mention Harvard. His cousin went to Harvard earlier in this conversation. Harvard is closing the renowned Harvard Yard. So students being arrested as we speak on the campus of Yale. Columbia is now in remote classes. And Harvard is closing Harvard Yard. All of that happening because these students are taking to the streets, taking to their campuses, their yards, and protesting the turmoil that continues to escalate in Gaza. There's your breaking news about these protests. We'll get to that, I'm sure, if not later in today's show. Certainly tomorrow we'll get a chance to sort of unpack that. But this is starting to expand and grow exponentially. And the issue of free speech on college campuses is front and center. So, again, maybe on tomorrow's program, we'll get to that. In the 2 minutes I have left here, Shermichael Singh, and sorry for that breaking news. You know how this works, of course. Got to get that stuff out.
That's okay. That's important.
Yeah, when it happens. And we'll talk about it tomorrow, as I said. But your comments from that listener, that Trump voters just don't care. And when all is said and done, more will have been said than done. And it just won't matter. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just did a focus group in Georgia, and I'm supposed to do another one next week. with Arizona Republicans on the abortion issue. And in Georgia, it was on the abortion issue last week. And I asked them if Donald Trump had to change his position on abortion to appeal to a wider electorate, would that bother them? And some of the evangelicals said they wouldn't like it, but they understood. And if that is what he needed to do to win, they would be okay with that. Mm. And the most principal concern they have is winning in November. And so whether he's guilty or not guilty in New York or Florida or D.C. or Fulton County, it does not matter because they want to win in November.
So what you're telling me is that they want him to win by any means necessary.
That is correct.
Wow. Yeah, that's I could spend hours just unpacking that reality, starting with the evangelical piece that you are such sycophants of this particular person, or put another way, care so much about your bevy of issues that you don't care.
We got to talk about that one, Tavis.
Yeah.
Next time, I'll send you the data from the.
No, please do.
Let you read over it. Have me back for that. I'd love to talk about that.
I promise I'll make that happen. I want to talk about that. That evangelical piece is fascinating for me, but just beyond that, the fact that you want this guy to be elected so badly by any means necessary that nothing else matters. That's scary. That's more scary than a one-issue voter, but I digress for now. His name is Shermichael Singleton, host of his own program, The Shermichael Singleton Show on SiriusXM. Shermichael, good to have you on. I promise we'll have you back once I get a chance to go through that data you're going to send me.
Thank you, Tavis. I'll send that to the team right now, and God bless you, brother.
Thank you, sir. All the best to you. More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.